Francoise.
Welcome back to Traveling with Francoise, everyone. I am Francoise Rhodes, your hostess. Great to have you with us today. Of course, we kicked off the show at 11:05 earlier with guests, gave away a lot of stuff already in the first hour. And now, like I said, we shift into travel mode. Back from Scottsdale. I had a great time last weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's so beautiful over there. Completely different than this desert. Two different deserts. Joining us in the boardroom continues. He hasn't left. You start here at 11. You don't leave. It's Sean Flanagan.
Hang out here. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm glad you don't leave, because what would I be doing? Yeah, I'd be running back and forth, and I wouldn't know which button to press. All right, today's show is presented by McDonald's, offering McDelivery through Uber Eats. Joining us this hour of the show is one of the most spontaneous travelers I know, and that's Lee Goodsell. We always like having Lee on.
Yeah, she has very cool adventures.
Yeah, she does. She just gets up and goes. That's what awesome. I love about it. And she finds all these little deals. I mean, people ask me, not so much anymore, because I've never been one to push the money side of traveling. Even though I give you updates, I just want you to know what's out there. And she does finds all these great little deals and stuff that I'm going to let her share with everybody, because there's so much out there. I could spend all my time just focusing on that, and I certainly don't want to do that, because then I couldn't get out all this other crazy information that I tell you about. So she'll be joining us a little bit later on the show. Yesterday on KESQ, I was there. I featured the tram because of the snow, and just to remind people to send your friends there. That's a good place to send them when they're here visiting, your visitors, and for you to go. If you haven't been, go up to the tram. It's beautiful up there. A lot of wedding proposals happen up there, and they have the two restaurants and whatnot. So anyway, that's what I did on KESQ. And Tuesday this week, I'll be filming a new episode of Traveling with Francoise TV.
Do you know when it's going to air or no?
I'm hoping within 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
We should get it turned around pretty quick. I know cameraman Steve's been so excited about it that he's already mapped it out. He already did the graphics for the map of the route we're taking, the back roads to.
So he's got his game plan ready to go.
Yeah, he just doesn't know where we're stopping. He's been that way, but didn't realize all these crazy things I found back there. So we'll be filming that on Tuesday, and then I'm sure he's going to be working really hard to get it up and out quickly. And then we'll be off to Tucson to film the next episode. So a lot of stuff going on. And remember, you can always check out the Traveling with Francoise website for information about the bus trip. We're going to talk about that. It's almost full. A few seats left on that. Just upcoming stuff with adult customized tours, all sorts of things. But right now, the government is shut down. How can a government shut down? I don't know.
So they did shut down.
Man.
Today or what?
That's what the paper said.
Oh. No, I saw that they were saying, oh, they're going to shut down, they're going to shut down.
Yeah, they did. How does that happen? I don't know. Well, this isn't a political show, so we won't get into it. However, because of it, National Park Services are really messed up right now.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yosemite National Park in California is open to visitors despite the government shutdown, but there will be nobody to greet them, help them navigate the trails, or even make sure they're in the right campground. Because now they have to furlough the workers and have some people come in. The visitor center is closed, along with some restrooms, because there's nobody to clean them. Campground visitors with reservations may find someone else in their campground because no one's checking them in.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a mess out there, so be prepared. Now, some of the privately owned businesses inside the national park, such as restaurants, stores, hotels, are open because they have nothing to do with the government.
Right.
But the Statue of Liberty shut down. How would you like to have planned this trip, for years?
Oh, yeah.
To go to New York, go to the Statue of Liberty, and get there, and it's shut down.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. So just be careful. My point is, when you're out there, be aware. Try to call in advance now to make sure that whatever you purchased, I don't know. Just expect the unexpected, because things are going to be a little messed up. Because they can't keep paying all these people when the government shut down. So there you go, to brighten your day right off. But here's something else. I'm going to ask Lee I know she would do this. She does about it. She would do anything. You know, I'm pretty much a game for anything. The only thing I might be hesitant, you'd have to probably throw me out of a plane to skydive.
I would do it.
You do it? I mean, I'm intrigued. It's that first step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just curious that just the fall. That's what I'm curious.
The fall, yeah.
I would want to go for a while before I pull the cord.
Yeah, well, you have to
feel it, you know?
Right. That would be it. I know in the hot air balloon, you see some freaky things happen with those. But when I was in the hot air balloon, I was a racing balloon. It was just me and the pilot, which was fun.
Right.
Because it was not crowded in the little basket and stuff. It was really... The land, though, is what kind of gets to you. You always wonder, how are we going to land? Because, you know, the chances of the basket staying upright
right.
are... few and far, about 50-50 there. Our basket, it does tend to tip over unless there's people that catch it just perfectly when mm-hmm. it's coming down. So anything like that's a little tricky. I would think for me, stepping out of the plane, but then I'd probably get a little anxious before we hit the ground.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
that
this
reminds me of a joke, though, a little bit. It's not like a full-blown joke, but what? If you were to jump out of a plane and your parachute didn't work, you'd have the rest of your life to figure out how to get it to open.
Oh, my gosh, Sean. That's terrible. It's funny, though. That's terrible. All right. Here's something. Frigid floating. Aurora floating experience. This is a new experience for travelers to see the northern lights in a new way while floating on their backs in frigid Arctic waters. The three-hour experience begins at 7:30 p.m. with clients will don red rescue dry suits and walk to a frozen lake in Finland. I can't pronounce the name of the. I'm not going to butcher the name of the lake. It's a. They cut a new hole in the ice for you to get in the water and float in 32 degrees water. Yeah.
No. Thank you. I'll jump out of the plane.
Yeah. I mean, why can't you just lay on top of the ice with a pad and look up?
And a sleeping bag and everything else.
No, like a little air bag or something. That'd be nice. I'd do that. They say the chance not everybody's going to see the aurora, though. They say you will see the northern lights, but they don't say how much it costs to do this. But I don't know. Well, why do you need to go out? I could see going out. I don't know. Anyway, it's something new. Who knows? A lot of people will probably do it. Now, we had the Guide Dogs of the Desert on in the first hour of the show, Sarah Clapp with us. But here is something that Delta just announced. Delta Airlines will soon require owners of service and support animals to provide more information before their animal can fly in the passenger cabin, including an assurance that it is trained to behave itself.
I think that's good.
Me too. The airline says complaints they've tripled... complaints about animals biting people, soiling the plane. I mean, you can't blame the animal if the owners
if
don't.
The owner, yeah, doesn't take them out. Doesn't neglect.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the poor animal has to go. They say that complaints have tripled about animals being on planes. They say Delta will require owners to show proof of their animal's health or vaccinations at least 48 hours before flight, which a lot of times people don't have. If they crack down just on that, it's going to keep them. Owners of psychiatric service animals and so-called emotional support animals will need to sign a statement vouching that their animal can behave. And these new requirements don't apply to pets, though, that stay in underseat kennels.
Right.
During the flights, which they should be in a kennel.
I think that's where it went south was the emotional pets, mm-hmm. the emotional companions.
Yeah.
Not to say that there's not a reason for them, but I think that that's the situation that people took advantage of.
Yeah. Well,
so
I mean,
now
really.
There's so much. There's like you just talked about a couple of weeks ago about at a restaurant about the dogs that are there. That's what that is. It's just people taking advantage of it.
That's what bothers me because I love pets. I do. I love grow up with. I feed the birds every day and the ducks and their babies and cats. I love animals, but sometimes it takes. You start ruining what's really good, then it ruins it for everyone.
Right.
That's the sad part. In fact, this morning I went to pick up the donuts at Swiss, and there was a lady and her friends getting out, and I had to take a double look. She got out a stroller and put her little dog in the stroller. And this whole big process, when the dog was the size of a teacup, basically, to put them in a stroller to take them into the restaurant.
That's funny.
All right. Anyway. All right. This is a travel show, but that's all. Use some common sense. And we love dogs here, but please. All right. On that note, what do we have? We can give away two tickets to an evening of music and laughter with the Mills Brothers and Sarge at Sun City Palm Desert. That's an $80 value. We won't do that now, though. We'll do that later. Okay. Yeah. Sean's waiting over there. Should I turn the music on or not? All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio, 1200 AM and 100.9 FM. We'll be right back. Welcome Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. All right, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, diabetic, retinopathy, and other conditions. Give them a call at 760-321-1111. And remember, all their programs over there are free, including their audio library. All right, we do have two tickets to an evening of music and laughter with the Mills Brothers and Sarge at Sun City Palm Desert on February 26th. It is an $80 value. These tickets will be mailed to you. I have them in hand. So give us a call at 760-440-8255 if you would like to go to an evening of music and laughter with the Mills Brothers and Sarge at Sun City Palm Desert, February 26th. All their shows over there sell out, by the way. So I was lucky to get tickets because they always sell out. This is $80 value, 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. I didn't have a chance to give those away in the first hour. And remember, the contest page on Traveling with Françoise, we have a lot of free contests all the time on there. Free. Everything's free. Just go to travelingwithfrancoise.com. Go to the contest page and sign up for your chance to win. Okay, and like I say, I'll be giving lots of stuff. We have a lot of theater tickets coming up. We have so many great theaters here. Anyway, all right, back to travel. With U.S. Airlines expected to carry more than 600 million passengers on domestic flights this year, and credit card debt levels exploding, we can expect airfare savings to be increasingly important in the months ahead. WalletHub released its 2018 Best Frequent Flyer Programs, which ranks the 10 largest domestic airlines based on these 23 key metrics that they have. It says here that Delta SkyMiles is the best frequent flyer program for the third straight year. So if you have those Delta SkyMiles, there you go. You're doing really well. The average airline rewards program gives frequent flyers 12% off their airline spending, and they're all free to join, so keep that in mind. Hawaiian Airlines offers the most rewards value to frequent flyers. It is $19.95 per $100 spent, with Alaska Airlines coming in at a close second at $19.87 per $100 spent. Four of the 10 largest airlines are offering more rewards in 2018 than 2017, sweetening the pot by an average of 20%. I really need to switch over my credit cards to get some of these. I have a Costco card is the only thing, because I always forget to redeem any points. I do this through the years. I get accumulate all these points, and I never remember how the heck to redeem them. So definitely be aware of your mileage points and your rewards and how you get them and all that sort of stuff. Delta Airlines and JetBlue Airways are the only two major airlines whose miles do not expire because of inactivity. So keep that in mind. That's Delta Airlines and JetBlue Airways, and that's why Delta SkyMiles is the best frequent flyer program. Frontier Airlines credit card and Lufthansa credit card are 2018's best airline credit cards, according to WalletHub editors. All right, so keep all that in mind. So if you have Delta, you have JetBlue, you get their mileage, take advantage of all that they're offering and try to keep up with all that they are offering. All right, joining us in studio, as I said earlier, one of the most spontaneous travelers I have met in my life so far. That is Lee Goodsell. Hi, Lee.
I love that adjective. Yeah. I like to apply that to all parts of my life, actually.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I know I like that, and I consider myself spontaneous, but you do pick up and go. And we were just talking about frequent flyer mileage plans and stuff. Now, for you to do all this spontaneous traveling that you do, you, I think, kind of work the system. You know how to find the deals.
I know how to find the deals, but it's a matter of subscribing to some apps, too, like Wow, you know, so that you can see the opportunities coming up. And then I do accumulate Southwest points for domestic travel, and I just got my drink tickets in the mail. So, you know, that can add up, you know, if that's an airline that you use occasionally. I just love the flexibility of that one. So when I'm hopping up to San Francisco or something, mm-hmm. Southwest is nice because if plans change, they're very flexible. So, you know, you'd have to go to LA, but...
Yeah, but you have to keep up. I think that's the thing, too. How often do you pay attention to the points that you have accumulated? Do you keep track of that, or you just...
I don't, because I don't think that I fly enough on on a single airline right now to justify it, because I'm not doing a lot of domestic flying, or I'm not consistent on an airline for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like you said, who has the deals? And increasingly, the flights out of Palm Springs are becoming more and more reasonable. I mean, if you add up what it costs to fly to L.A., drop your car for a week, maybe stay overnight if you have a really early flight. Mm-hmm. I mean, Palm Springs, you know, for me to get south to Florida, stopping in, you know, Houston or something, great airfares recently. So that's really a treat.
Yeah, I think, and that's what people forget. They even think of Ontario's only an hour away, but it's still an hour away of drive time.
You have to factor in parking fees for your car and everything. Yep. Even if you go to the, you know, Van Nuys Flyaway, $4 a night and an $8 shuttle, it's still, you know, a lot of valuable time. And you can be a lot more flexible on flights leaving early in the morning or coming back mm-hmm. late at night if you're just driving home from the airport right here in town.
Yeah. No, I agree. Whenever I can go out of Palm Springs, that's for me. I just, and I don't even mind to pay for the parking because, like you say, somewhere else if I'm going, I still have to get
there.
Well,
you know, somebody can drop you off. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot more options as well.
So, all right. Well, it's great to have you in.
Thanks so much.
That you're here. Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about how to save some money when you're flying. Just check all your rewards. Try to keep some sort of handle on what you're getting, when you're getting it, and how much you're getting, and see what works better for you. All right. Lee, we're kind of in the industry news part of the show. So feel free to chime in anytime you like.
Perfect.
I have a trip here that Sean and I were talking about. We know it's something you would do. All right. The U.S. State Department recently advised its country-specific travel advisory method by giving a travel advisory ranking to every nation in the world from 1, exercise normal precautions, to 4, do not travel. They say, all in all, we view the new system as an improvement of the old. So we will see. So 1 is exercise normal precautions and 4, do not travel. Now, I did not see the list, so I will check back and see what the list says about where we stand in this 1 to 4. That doesn't seem like a lot, 1 to 4. They kept it very simple. You would think
that's a pretty tight range.
Yeah, 1 to 10 could have you all over the map, but 1 to 4, it seems to be, it would be easy to understand. All right, and several travel guides have named New Orleans a top destination for 2018. Have you been to New Orleans?
I lived in New Orleans for high school, so 3 years.
Oh,
I have traveled there.
Fun. And Sean, didn't you go on a radio trip to New Orleans, I thought?
No, not New Orleans. I went to Jamaica and Cabo.
Oh, okay. Well, then you have to go to New Orleans because
in the summer if you can't handle humidity.
Yeah, humidity. But you get better deals then. But they are celebrating their tricentennial this year.
I'm headed back for my 40th. High school reunion.
Oh, well,
it's sometime this year.
They say visitors can tour exhibits focusing on the history of the city. All sorts of, it's going to be even more fun than New Orleans already is. So,
well, that historic district is so beautiful with the antebellum homes, you know, mm-hmm. right in town, the Garden District, as it were. And then, of course, the opportunities that you have to travel out of town to actual antebellum mansions and everything. So it's not all, you know, Bourbon Street and
right.
And that. There's a lot more aspects to it, which is really nice.
And there's a new and an old I found when I was there. I think it was a week. I did the radio show from there. And I saw the old where the Jazz Festival, the plaza right in the middle with the park and whatnot. And then they have a newer section where it's all new buildings and new offices. You go from one to the other. Mm. Really a nice mix. And then I got on the train and rode all the way out to the very end of the trolley, actually, where the cemeteries are.
Sure.
And that is fascinating.
Just, yeah, if you've seen that Ashley Judd movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was fascinating. I just liked all the different, like you say, parts of New Orleans. And the food was fantastic and the people were nice. One thing that I encourage everybody to go to, because we hear Mardi Gras. They have the Mardi Gras Museum, and it's spectacular.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it really.
I think sometimes you can get in to see where they're building the floats and such too on the other bank, on the West Bank.
Yeah, so
they have the big warehouses there and stuff. I think they do tours, so even if you're not there during Mardi Gras, you can kind of get a sense of the
right
scale of those floats.
Yeah,
because they're spectacular.
Not everyone can handle Mardi Gras. All right. Hotels News now gets a feel for trends among travelers in the 55 and older age group. Baby boomer travelers prefer domestic trips and are less likely to travel internationally than other age groups. I thought that was interesting. Factors that play into destination choice: proximity, a location they visited before, and visiting friends and family. As a group, baby boomers, travelers in 55 and older segment, are more likely to spend more than $1,000 per trip. Almost half of boomer travelers spend approximately $3,000 a year on travel, making them a higher spending group than other age groups.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I guess they have the money.
Well, the younger ones know how to travel on the cheap.
Yeah, I think
they travel more, but they probably travel better and more often.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. And out of all age groups, boomers are more likely to stay in 3- and 4-star hotels. They want that luxury.
I must be the exception.
Yeah. Well, I would just want a comfortable... Here, two things. Clean, clean, clean. I don't care how small or tiny or whatever. I want clean. And I do like a comfortable bed. But,
sure.
You know, but I'll go with the clean first. If I had to pick one or the other, I'll take the clean first.
There you go.
All right. Okay. So that's just a little bit of news out there. And also says boomers are the only segment of travelers who said they preferred to book through a hotel loyalty program for their most recent hotel stay. So there you go. Year in and year over. Well, we only have about a minute left to talk about this. But occupancy, I'm going to keep all these statistics, are up across the board, except San Diego is the only area where it has declined in hotel occupancy. I know.
They must have had some big conventions or something that are rotating out or something.
All right. And hotel rates have creeped up across the board, all the way across the U.S. The average daily rate for a hotel is $121, up just about a couple percent there. So
that's good to see with the proliferation of the Airbnb and everything, that hotels are also, you know, handling, you know, holding tight on their RevPAR.
And New Orleans, though, they are a double digits increase in occupancy, and they have jumped up in prices. Of course, they're celebrating this big tricentennial, so you know that's going to happen. All right, I'm going to keep that news. We're going to step aside for just a moment. When we come back, Lee Goodsell's in the house. We're going to talk a little bit about Renova Energy. We want to update on what's going on with Renova. Always something. They're so fantastic. And then we're going to find out where Lee has been lately and where she's going. And I think she has her suitcase with her right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host, however you want to say it. Joining us in studio is Lee Goodsell. She is also an avid traveler, but also with Renova Energy. And we haven't had you on to even give us an update about what Renova has been doing. Even though I talk about Renova every week, you have so much going on over there. Renova Energy, name change, all sorts of stuff, batteries, whatnot. Give us an update on what's happening there at Renova Energy.
Well, that was a summary right there.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. No.
Actually, the company was founded as Renova Energy Corporation in 2006. So
oh, it was.
Renova Solar was really a DBA, so people would understand, you know, when the focus was really solar, hey, it's solar, folks. And so the Renova Energy name is really just kind of moving back to our roots in a sense, but also a more accurate umbrella, because now, as you mentioned, we have battery systems that we're making available. We're a certified installer for Tesla Powerwall, one of the only ones in the area. So,
okay. And when you say battery systems, it's we all think of all different types of batteries, but you're talking about car batteries for the Tesla to explain.
Oh, yeah. Well, akin to that, I mean, a lot of the same chemistry, but a battery that hangs on your wall in your home somewhere. And if the power should go out, a lot of people are under the mistaken belief that the solar keeps working, and it doesn't, because it can't be sending power onto the grid if they're trying to fix it.
Okay.
You know, everything has to shut off. But if you have a battery in your home, we'll wire it up to certain things, and when the power goes down, your solar will then redirect power into that battery, and the battery will power the things that it's wired to. So depending on how many you get, somebody just got one and they wired it up to power their refrigerator and their casita during a power outage. And so if anything happens, grid attack, somebody hits a transformer, we have an earthquake, whatever, they'll just move into their casita. All their, you know, meats and everything mm-hmm. will be protected in their freezer. And there was another couple in Palm Springs that had two batteries, and they have enough power for their whole home. So people are really excited about it. You know, a generator with gas, you run out, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, with the sun and solar and the battery, you know, you're on a continuous cycle for however long. So, you know, you're the house with the cold beer.
Well, I was going to say, and isn't that the first thing that people think about when all the power goes out? Is, first of all, the beer. And then the food, the meats, the freezer.
Yeah.
Don't open the freezer.
Well, some people, the wine cooler, you know, I mean, that you've invested a lot in expensive wines and maybe those can't go above. Or you have medicine that has to be refrigerated.
That's true.
You know, that can be dangerous. You have a respirator for an older person. You know, you need that electricity for, you know, and even just phones and computers.
Oh, just we're just so used to it. We are just, that's our way of the world. And when they shut it down, even when you get notices saying that it's going to be shut down, we're never ready for how dark everything is once, like, the, you know, the
flashlight's not enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, good. So Renova just keeps growing and growing. I saw them the other day putting one thing, and I wanted to bring this up because I think it's really important. People have this misconception when they see all these panels on a roof on how heavy it might be, and they worry about all that. But I see now we have so many, I'm going to say, manufactured home communities here throughout the entire Coachella Valley. A lot of our snowbirds have manufactured homes that they come in, these beautiful communities that have golf courses and pools and everything. I noticed Renova Energy is installing a lot of solar on manufactured homes.
We're starting to, yes. The requirements are different, and they go through a different entity to approve. So there are some things that are different in terms of, you know, you have to have a foundation and it's best on certain types of roofs.
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends if you have a individual meter at your home as opposed to, you know, the group meter, as it were, where the park is charging you for your electricity. So there are a bit more intricacies with mobile homes. So it's not, you know, across the board that it's able to be done. And that's not our choice. That's just the physical configurations of the homes and the regulating entities for solar on them. But to answer your question, yes.
Yeah. So, but you tell
somebody can call and ask, and we can help determine if there's, you know, fits those qualifications. Yeah. Sure.
And that's the whole thing with Renova Energy, folks, is they're always there to help you and talk to you. No sales pitch. I'm just going to lay it out on the line. You'll just talk to them and explain and have someone go out and say, okay, either we can do it or we can't.
Right.
Either we can do what you want, or we have to do something different, or it's just not going to work.
Our consultants are so well versed in you know, time of use rates that are coming up, and all the federal tax credits that are still available, full 30% through the end of 2019, and then it starts to drop down. So there's, you know, some need to explore it sooner than later. And then, of course, with Ranch Mirage switching to a potential different provider for electricity, we're learning about that now in terms of, you know, will SCE still have to administer the interconnection because it's still their transmission wires and everything? You know, it's not as though this new entity will take down all their wires and put their own up. You know, it's much like the cell phones, you know, kind of renting bandwidth from the other big carriers. Mm-hmm. So we're fast getting up to speed with what that means so we can answer questions for people. But it looks like with initial savings of 5%, it might be more applicable for renters and people that for some reason can't put solar on because the solar savings are still, you know, 25% to 50% that we're seeing. And so it's still, you know, a great, great option to save money each month.
And you guys have such a great reputation. I have a lot of listeners that have solar from Renova Energy, and they are more than thrilled how your team conducts their business they get it done. So, and also, and I've been mentioning this for the last several months, is Renova Energy is their presenting people. You are the presenting company of the Traveling with Francois Fun Bus to Quartzsite, Arizona, January 31st.
I love some fun.
We're going to have some fun, and we have about 8 seats left on the bus.
Nice.
So, yeah,
good for you.
It's good. And this is really a specialty little day on the bus because, as I tell everyone, there's no educational value. I'll talk a little bit about Quartzsite, but we're just going to go have some fun shopping.
Hey, I love
go to Quartzsite.
The flea markets at Quartzsite and all the beautiful things that they make out of stone. That some of the I saw the most beautiful wash basin crafted out of stone. I mean, it's works of art.
It is. And we'll have a big old bus, and they have that luggage place, the luggage rack area underneath, storage, so we can put all the stuff we buy.
Bring
and
back
we're going to have
your treasures.
Prizes on the way back, and donuts and bottled water and stuff on the way going, and some snacks on the way back. So, and the bus, it's a luxury bus, has a restroom. So our deadline to sign up, since I know we're definitely going, you know, you always, when you first start all this, you have to go at it in stages. I have the 28th now is the last I'm going to take people signing up. So if you're interested, it's January 31st, $59 per person. And it's going to be a fun day. And it only takes us less than 2 hours. I just drove through Quartzsite the other day on the way back from Scottsdale. Check it out. They've really rearranged some of it this year, Lee. Before, it was kind of everywhere.
Right.
I think they're trying to get a handle on how huge this gem and mineral show becomes.
Right.
So they have new vendors, I've noticed, some more flea markets, but it's a little bit more organized in some areas.
Darn.
I know. But don't worry, they still have the other part that's totally unorganized.
Okay, good. So, that's the fun part. That's the treasure hunting right there.
And well, me, I could just stay in Gem World the whole day just about, right in that one area. But so if you want more information, go to the website travelingwithfrancoise.com. You can sign up, pay through credit card, through PayPal, or send me a check. So anyway, all right, great. So now, Lee, I found something that we were talking about when we opened the show about Aurora Floating Experience. And I said, this is something that you would do. I think you would do this. So this is a new experience in Finland. Have you been to Finland?
I have been to, yes.
Okay, you have been to Finland.
On a cruise around the Baltic, I believe.
Okay, didn't you just do that this last summer?
No, that was a cruise from Rome to Venice, but traveling along the coastline of the former Yugoslavia. So, you know, Bosnia and those countries up there.
Which I hear beautiful.
Unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and all the ancient fortifications and everything, because if you're along the coast, then obviously that's where they were prone to be attacked and everything. So, you know, there's still so many of those old towns and castles and, you know, stonework and everything.
You know, and I think I wonder about this. Because there are people that just travel domestically. They're just domestic. And others that just want to do international. There's a little bit. But when you travel international, and it happens actually when you travel almost anywhere, we come across these places that we wonder, can it get any more beautiful than this?
Yeah, Taormina, where they had the G7 summit, we were there a couple weeks beforehand, and it has one of the oldest, still in good shape, Greek theaters, and it's right on a cliff overlooking, you know, the bay, and it was breathtaking. And we just don't have that kind of history in our country. Mm-hmm. So it just depends what you're interested in, you know, I think. But for me personally, I'm doing all the international travel now. I can get around more easily and my body cooperates. And then, you know, later I'm saving some things for, you know, when I can travel domestically, and then you don't have the toll on your body with jet lags and things like that, and just the mobility issues. So
well, and now we're before most of the time we have to stop somewhere in the flights, but now more and more the jets are nonstop. And
did you see that flight that they just made in like what 5.5 hours?
Yeah,
Norwegian, which is a great budget airline, by the way. Yeah. You can find some amazing airfares on that.
So look around. We know the Concorde. They're saying they might even bring back the Concorde again as a new version of the Concorde.
The closest thing I've done akin to that float, though, would be the Blue Lagoon in Iceland.
Okay. You do. Yeah, I missed that trip. Darn. But it says here it's 32-degree water. Did you put on a red suit, a red dry suit when you did that?
We were in – it's a thermal spring, so we were in 100-degree water, but the – weather outside, you know, around us was 45 degrees. And at one point it started snowing while we were in the lagoon. So that was awesome.
I think it was 45. No, what was it when I was just in New York for Christmas? I don't know. It was so cold, but it was worth it because it was so beautiful. Yeah. You tend to forget, even though you're freezing, you tend to forget that you're uncomfortable because who knows, you might not ever go back to any of these places.
Well, that's part of the exotic part of the travel. I mean, if we just traveled to places that were like this.
Warm.
You know, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, that was the fun part about Iceland too, is bundling up and being cold and, you know.
Right.
Being buffeted by the winds on the cliffs at the Atlantic Ocean side and, you know, just and, new experiences.
Right. Feeling like a traveler. And you can always tell the locals because in New York, when I was bundled up with hat, scarf, gloves, you name it, three layers. Here are these gals going to work with their dresses on, a little jacket over it, no nylons, and then the guys have a suit coat. And that's what I'm saying. Okay, we know they're a local.
Exactly.
All right, on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about what you have been up to and what trips you have planned.
Great.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio 1200 AM and 100.9 FM, and of course in Arizona as well. And hi to all of our Arizona friends. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. Joining us today is Lee Goodsell, international traveler that you are. Yeah, this year. So this year, where did you go? Wait, we're in 2000. Last year, just give us a highlight of some of the places you went in 2017.
I went to Iceland. I organized a trip. I kind of threw it out there to some girlfriends. Hey, I want to go to Iceland.
Yep,
who's interested? And it ended up being six of us. So we went on WOW Airlines. It's only a 9-hour flight. Mm-hmm. It's closer than what people imagine it to be. So we, into Reykjavik and Airbnb apartments across the hall from each other. And that was a cool trip. Fast. 4 nights, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
But that was good. Long enough to see a lot of stuff. And then I went on a cruise with my mother and stepfather and some other members of my family. Started in Rome and ended in Venice and along the coast of the former Yugoslavia. So Corfu and Tirmina and Dubrovnik and into Bosnia and Split and, all along on those. And then next month, actually, I have a trip coming up to Egypt.
Oh, my God. Now, is this sounds like you planned this trip. Is this with a group of people on your own?
No. Last year, I sat and thought, where do I want to go next year?
Mm-hmm.
Because with the amount of time off, when I go to Burning Man and then I have some holidays, you have to decide, where you want to go to use your time expeditiously.
Right. Yeah.
And so I thought I wanted to go to Egypt and then either Greece or India. And so I mentioned it to a friend, and he said, hey, I'll go to Egypt with you. I said, really? Yeah, sure. So that was in November, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming up in about a month.
Oh, boy. So now how long is that trip going to be?
That's 10 days, include part of that is the travel days to get there. So it's about 22 hours maybe to get there, and then you make up some of that on the way back. But we're flying into Cairo, and we've booked with a tour operator that puts you in a 5-star hotel for a couple nights in Cairo. You do some tours there, and then you fly within the country to the end of the Nile, and then we're taking a 5-night river cruise down the Nile back that will stop in Aswan and Luxor and Valley of the Kings and all of that along the way with all those guided tours and everything. And the prices in Egypt are so great right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that 5-night boat trip with meals and everything was $700 and something, and the airfare was $779 round trip airfare.
Wow.
I mean, that's
going to be a trip.
Amazing.
Quite a trip. Didn't you go to Abu Dhabi last year? Oh, was that last
Dubai,
year?
Dubai. 2 years ago.
Okay, 2 years ago.
2 years ago to Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Yeah,
okay. All right. And I want to just make sure I tell everybody that this segment of the show is presented by Angel View Marts throughout the Coachella Valley. Angelview.org. All their information is on the website, Traveling with Francois. So make sure you want to.
Just there yesterday, found some good treasures.
Oh, you do? I mean, I love going there.
Helping a family start a new home. We found an amazing sectional sofa, unscathed. I mean, $179.
Yeah.
Three-piece sectional. It's beautiful.
You can't believe it. It's because people turn stuff around so quickly, and some of the times they don't even want it. They get the order new stuff. They don't like it for some reason or another, and they just donate it to Angel View. So good job.
Yeah.
All right. So traveling. Now, last time you were on the air, you gave us some travel tips, and as I was saying earlier on the show, I could spend hours and hours all the time putting together tips of this and that, but that's not really what I do. I just like to tell people about things to go out and enjoy them. But I know, Lee, you're really good about some of the tips and the different sites to use. So your top apps that you use for traveling, what are they?
Well, I use OneTravel, and I use Skyscanner. OneTravel.com is actually a website, and then Skyscanner is the one where you can put in your airport that you're leaving from, and then you can put in everywhere, and it will tell you what the round-trip lowest airfares are to different countries and such. And that's how I kind of came up with the Dubai trip, because I saw round-trip airfares of about $800, although we end up getting it for $750 round-trip. So that's a fun one. I've recently subscribed to Scott's Cheap Flights.
Oh.
It's a really nominal monthly fee, and they scan the internet for mistake airfares that airlines, mistakenly go out with something too low. You don't book it through them, though. You can look at Google Flights or Momondo and book it as a result of finding it on there. But
and that was
some of those
Scott's,
deals, Scott's Cheap Flights.
Scott's Cheap Flights.
Yeah.
So remember that. And then Skyscanner.
Yeah, if you're able to take advantage of something quickly. You know, it doesn't mean it's leaving right now. He'll say, he, you know, because it's Scott. I don't know, whoever Scott is.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just found flights to Nairobi for $500, and they're usually in the $1,200 range. We think this flight will be good for 3 or 4 days and will probably be available through May of 2018. Or, you know, so you get kind of an encapsulated summary of it. It doesn't mean I got to go to Nairobi next week to take advantage of the flight. I just have to decide quickly if I can go to Nairobi sometime in the next few months.
And then it's up to you to call and make the reservation.
Yeah, now, they don't. You don't make it through them. It's not an Expedia or something else. They're just alerting you to these airfares because they're scanning all the airlines all the time.
So now when you have called to book the flights through these different kind of programs that like Scott's and Skyscanner, is Skyscanner's one of them as well?
Skyscanner tells you again what the flights are, but then they point you to the airlines. Right. OneTravel, you do book through them.
Okay. Now, have you had any problems? Because they always have to read the fine print. And have you had a problem with any of these?
No. My daughter and I flew to Paris last Thanksgiving, and we did it through OneTravel. Originally we were booked on Norwegian, and then the plane had mechanical difficulties, and we didn't want to spend another day in the airport, so we rebooked with OneTravel through British Airways, and then the Norwegian refund came back to us the next month very easily, and so there was no problem with being able to work with them or anything. They've been, you know, what I feel is really responsive.
Yeah, that's good. So there are different ways out there. And for those of you who just want to go with tour groups, go with ACT Tours, adult customized tours. They can do it all for you. But there's a lot of people out there that finding the best rates and getting all these deals is sort of a challenge and it's part of the experience for them.
It's kind of fun, you know, when you're exploring tours like with Viator or something. You're also learning so much about that place and things that you'd like to do. And you know, with Iceland, we looked at some tours and then decided that we could rent a vehicle and that all of us would fit in and kind of do that tour ourselves, which we did one day. And we also drove ourselves to the Blue Lagoon and back, which was nice to have that kind of flexibility.
Right.
So.
Do you drive often when you travel? Do you try to avoid it or you don't care?
We did rent a vehicle in Dubai and drive to Abu Dhabi because it was about an hour and a half away. And that seemed the best way to look around. We wanted to stop at the Grand Mosque, et cetera. Although tickets are expensive if you run a yellow light, which I found out. and then again, in Iceland, like I mentioned, we rented a vehicle. Yeah. So I think a combination sometimes is nice. I wouldn't rent a vehicle if I was on a cruise and I was just in a place for a day. Those hop on, hop off buses are usually a really economical way to see an area if you don't want to invest in one of the cruise ship, you know, more expensive excursions. And I've been really happy with that. And usually they have Wi-Fi on them as well. So, you know, you're able to avoid the ship's expensive Wi-Fi services.
Well, and I agree. I did the hop on, hop off in, where was it? New Orleans? No, Nashville. And I really liked it because a lot of times now they have tour guides on the bus.
Yeah, you're hearing
so
the
all
things
day long. And they're telling you, they're pointing out items, which is really nice. And
it's
don't
a great way
to, tip
to
the
see an area and just ride the whole route at first and then ride it back to the places that you want to see.
And get on and off and spend the day how you want to spend it. One thing I want to point out, too, is I always do stress on this. Remember when you're in hotels, tip the room service people. Leave something there for them.
They work hard. They do a nice job.
They work very hard. Don't forget your tips out there. And sometimes you might not be giving as much as someone else, but just every little bit counts.
And each country has a tip percentage that's different. You know, Egypt, where we're going, it's 10% is the norm. So save yourself a bit of money, but not offend anybody.
Right. And do a little bit of work before you go. How much work do you do before you go on a trip?
Part of the fun for me is the anticipation. And so I spend a lot of time, you know, I pin it. I have a board on Pinterest now on Egypt and things to see and do. And so it's like I'm enjoying the trip on a much longer time frame rather than just waiting till the trip actually starts. I'm enjoying it from the moment, you know, I book it and I know it's real.
All right. Well, Lee, always fun having you on the show. We always like to
hear
your adventures. Of course, when you get back from Egypt, you know, and then we'll see you on the bus trip to Quartzite.
I'm hoping to make that, yes.
Yeah, I know. All right. And don't forget, folks, Renova Energy. They are one-stop shop for all your needs as far as solar and batteries and all that kind of
That's
stuff.
That's right. You can lease solar for no money down and free installation, and we'll just let you put some money in your pocket every month to save for a trip.
Sounds good. That's right. A lot of traveling to do. Sean, thanks so much inside the board there. We want to congratulate all our winners. We gave away a lot of stuff in the first hour of the show. This hour, we were...
Sean, you fit quite nicely inside that board.
Yeah. Destiny, yes. He's just smiling over there with that glass between us. Yeah. All right, everyone. Next week, what are we doing next week? Next week, we're going to find out about the Fair and Date Festival. Then we're going to have Felici's going to join us, who just returned from the Bahamas.
Nice.
So he is going to tell us, though, what can travelers expect? Everybody's worried, but right now, I think it'll be...
It's such a kind time to travel and help out those economies. And I think the essential services are
in place. All right. Have a great one, everyone. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.